Well, that was another wonderful psalm with a wonderful truth, meaning. I like when it said, talks about the grace. Pardon there was grace and grace. How is that? What? Yeah, but what was the beginning? What the chorus? Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. That is very special to me this morning, that grace was free, that mercy, that great overflowing of God's love displayed to us with His divine help that He brought to you and I, a help that we couldn't produce, couldn't gain ourselves, but God Himself looked down on us in our broken, sinful condition and said He marveled there was no help. But then there was one, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, stood up, who was a helper of mankind. And He's brought grace to mankind. And I'm grateful today that there is a helper. There's a daysman. There is God Himself has produced something special, a grace for you and I that we might be saved. I was talking with Brother Michael just a little bit yesterday, and I don't want to steal anything that he may want to share with you some point. But he was thrilled at what he saw over there in Africa. There was such a desire to come and hear the gospel. They were perhaps unencumbered by many of the things that we here in America may be so taken up with. We have so much business of life, so much press. But over there, they had time for the Lord. And talked about people who traveled to them would have been great distances because they don't have cars. They don't have some of the things, some of them anyway, don't have the same amenities that we do. And they had to walk. And there's great distances to them. And here they came over miles, came to hear the gospel and to share with one another. And there's just a basic, general, organic sense of hunger for the Lord. And that is what I would love to see more of in this nation. We can say dark Africa and the dark folks. That's not, the darkness isn't just in Africa. The darkness is pervading this nation. But there is an answer that God has for that. And He's got this, His divine grace. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Again, I'll ask you to overlook maybe some of my hoarseness this morning. But we're going to look into the Word of the Lord. What I would like to write on that board, I'm probably not going to do that, but I'm going to tell you the two ways. This isn't a new idea. It's found in the Scripture. God has given us choices. And that's the reason why Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount mentioned the two ways. About one that's a broad way, one that's a narrow way. So before we get to there, and we will, Lord willing, get there. There was a document written years ago, and I don't know. It's debatable when it was written. In the early Christian era, could have been the 2nd century. In other words, 100 and some A.D. It could have been, they said, maybe before that, in the 1st century. Early Christians, the temple was destroyed in 70 A.D. Paul and Peter both suffered martyrdom 68, 67, 69 A.D., somewhere in that era, just before the destruction of the temple. A lot of changes, a lot of the early writings was right in that area, that era of time. You ever heard of the Didache? No hands going up. The Didache is also a document that was written there. It wasn't found, it wasn't put in the Bible, though it was known when they were collecting the canon of Scripture, bringing it. It was known in the early church, the Didache. And it simply was It was also called the message from the 12 apostles to the nations. And by calling it that, it meant especially to the Gentile nations, all the nations. So the gospel was intended not just for the Jew, but for the nations. And part of the Didache was addressing the message to the world. I want to read you just the first little part of it. It says, there are two ways. That's how it starts out. There are two ways, one of life and one of death. And there is a great difference between the two. Now, it was written in early Greek, the way it was written, so this is a translation of it. But this is the way it was translated. There are two ways, one of life and one of death, and there is a great difference between the two ways. The way of life is this. First of all, you shall love the God who made you. Second, love your neighbor as yourself, and all things you would not want done to you, do not to others. In other words, you recognize in yourself, you don't want to be treated that way. Don't treat others that way. Doesn't this sound like just a scripture that we've been... So this is what was the message to the nations. Do not to any other. Now the teachings of these words is this. Bless those who curse you. Pray for your enemies. And fast for those who persecute you. For what credit is it to you if you love those who love you? Do the people of the nations not do the same? But you shall love those who hate you, and you will not have any enemies. I don't think that it's saying there that when you love those who hate you, I think it's really saying, it's not saying it will create the environment that you won't have any enemies, but it likely will help that. But he's really saying here is a command not to have enemies. Don't see people as your enemy. And I believe that's good counsel. So where did this early church, whoever wrote that, I don't know who did, I don't know if it was a collection of people that wrote that, it was ascribed to a message from the 12 apostles to the nations. But I would like to look over into Matthew, the 7th chapter, and this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Again, I think of two ways. And the two ways is mentioned here in this early writing. There's still two ways. There's still two masters. It's mentioned in the scripture. You're either going to love one or hate the other or hate. It's going to be vice versa. We have a choice to make. And so today we're still in that same situation. When we live in our lives today, there's not a multiplicity of choices, of moral choices, of who we're going to serve. There is two choices. I don't care what country you live in. You say, well, I was raised a Buddhist. I was raised a Muslim. I was raised whatever other background you was raised in. The fact is we have two choices. One of it, the one is the way of God, that he is prescribed through his son Jesus Christ, and the other one is a way of death. Amen. There's a vast difference between those two ways. They're not the same. One is of life, the other is of death. One is of light, the other is of darkness. Walk as children of the light. Seek the light, and when light is shed on your pathway, the Lord would have us to embrace it, to love it, and allow it to have its wonderful works in our life. Because it is God that would like to lead us around the pitfalls of life and lead us safely in a path that is for our spiritual and physical good. So over here in Matthew, the 7th chapter, and I'm going to start here with the 12th verse. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do even so. Doesn't this sound kind of like what we just read in the Didache? You see, this is what people were passing on. Now, they didn't say, there wasn't a lot of theological doctrine that they were addressing there, were they? They were talking about following the Lord. Folks, that's the most important yet today. I'm not discounting theology and I'm not discounting that. But I want to tell you the only way to truly understand doctrine and theology is through this relationship and following in the way of the author of doctrine. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would do, would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Again, these are words of Jesus teaching people on the Sermon on the Mount, telling them, you treat your fellow man like you want to be treated. Don't have enemies. Don't have a list of enemies. Don't be like that. Folks, if we would carry ourselves in such a way that we would have a list of enemies, you're going to act differently when you're around them. Did Jesus have enemies? Oh, people didn't like him. But it says of Jesus, for God so loved the world. Jesus loved them too. There wasn't any of them that he was not like his Father in. His Father loved the world, so did Jesus. He loved people. And he gave himself while we were yet enemies. We were enemies of him, but he wasn't our enemy. He was our Savior, our Lord and Savior. That's who he is. And he didn't stop at Calvary. He began the work in its fullness on Calvary. And it comes down through the annals of time and is yet true today in every heart who will receive him, King. He is yet the Savior. All right, the 13th verse says, enter ye in at the strait gate. What does that mean? Enter ye in. Jesus is giving counsel to people. Enter ye in at the strait gate. There is an area that most people are not going to choose. There's a way of living that generally, and there's a reason why they don't choose it, is because it's not one of self-gratification. The way of the Lord still says, don't eat of that tree. It's still that way. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Come not near unto it. Avoid those temptations. Don't step in the way of the evil man. Don't walk in that path. There is a path that goes by the simple. In Proverbs, it talks about a path that goes by the simple man that devoid of understanding, not able to recognize the path he's in, hasn't given thought to what he's doing and the trajectory of the path he's taking. And the path of life is a narrow one. It's one that's different than what the majority of the world has taken. So I want to tell you today, if we want to follow the Lord, we're not going to be the majority, likely. Likely not going to be the majority. In fact, Jesus even alluded to the idea that those, remember the five wise and five foolish? I am not willing to say all that Jesus may have meant by that. I don't see the church as being necessarily unwise virgins, and that five of them are gonna be lost. I don't know exactly all that Jesus was teaching there, but I do believe he's teaching a great caution to us that are here in this congregation, that we not let our oil run low. That we keep our spiritual walk with the Lord as vibrant, as intentional, as careful Again, God doesn't intend to make us feel miserable in life. In fact, He wants our joy to be full. But He does want us to be very intentional and careful with our walk with Him. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go in at that gate. Many. And I believe that would bring a great sadness. Again, notice what Jesus is saying. They go in that. I believe when we read the gospel and read the scripture in totality, all that we find here from Adam and Eve and the tree in the garden, clear on down to Revelation, where it says, where it talks about us choosing. In the Old Testament, choose you this day. There is a moral choice that is incumbent upon us to make. These people, the reason why Jesus is talking to the crowd here in this Sermon on the Mount, He wants them to understand and recognize and make good moral choices. Treat your fellow man in a right way. And love the Lord with all your heart. And notice that there are two ways, and most people will not go in the narrow gate because it requires a giving up of some selfish desires. It requires a turning away from the beauty of what we see as the enticing beauty of the fruit that is hanging on the forbidden tree. There is something about it in the world today. Many of us, it talked about the pleasures of sin. And it's seasonal, it's not forever. But it's out there and there is an enticement. And God help us as we go through life that we make right choices here. There's a path easily traveled. It's almost by nature that you travel, if not by nature, that you travel. Because there is a contamination that we received. Our spiritual nature has been contaminated. Sin has entered into this world. And we are contaminated with that temptation that came down. So by nature, the world just by nature flows in that broad way. But there has to be an intention to say, no, I don't want to go, because I have seen the evidence of what that path produces. And folks, I would encourage us to stop just a little bit when we make choices of life and look ahead. Because there's enough other people who have already taken the path, the choice that may be before us. And we look at what it's done for their life and what direction, how well it's worked in their lives. And we could look at it and say, Lord, I know that's not the path I want to take. God has given us plenty of evidence before us in this world for us to look at and say, no, that's not what I want. But it is a broad path and many are taking it. Many go down there, I believe, also that causes the heart of our dear Lord much sorrow when He realizes that He has paid the price for those to be saved and they disregard it. I believe that primarily because for different reasons, but one of them is that God is love. That's His nature. He loves. And it was expressed in this way when Jesus looked over a city of Jerusalem when they had rejected Him. You know what He did? He wept over Jerusalem, did He not? I believe the Lord is still sorrowful when so many people are rejecting His proffered hand, His grace that He has given to mankind. And they are walking headlong, plunging headlong down a path of destruction. And many there be which go in there. But straight, because straight is the gate. Straight, this gives the idea in my mind that this is a gate that you can't carry through all your personal desires. I think of the straightness of this way, and I've considered it this way. When we think about the torn And I don't want to sound gross to your mind, but folks, it was the blood, the broken body of our Lord. It's a reason why we can claim salvation today. It was the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And when Jesus had a broken body, and we have to, He says, I am the door. It was His blood that opened that. And when we squeeze through this avenue that God has opened up for us through His Son, Jesus Christ, we cannot, there's not room for my old carnal self to pass through that door. There's not room for my rebellion, for my desires of the flesh, for my, I can't make excuses any longer for myself and say I was just born that way when God says I have an antidote, I have a fix for your born way. I have salvation for you. You no longer have to have the identity of your old master because I have come to translate you from the power of this world into the power of His, into the kingdom of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. Thank God for that translation. Thank God for that salvation, that changing. We don't have to follow in that old broad path any longer. There is a path that has been opened up through the blood. And if you don't like the thoughts of the blood, dear ones, I want to tell you I love the thoughts of the blood because it's there where I found cleansing. It's there that mercy was great and grace was free. It was there where pardon was multiplied to me. And I want to tell you today, get over the ideas of the grossness of the blood and thank God for the blood because through God there is salvation. Through the blood there is salvation. Our penalty was paid. Our ability to come. Oh, what was it the writer said that He is able to present us faultless? Thank God for His ability to save us and present us faultless before the throne of God. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Well, folks, there might be few, but that doesn't mean that we can't. It might be few, but that doesn't mean you'd have to be one of those that didn't. Because God has made it so that whosoever will, let him come. That also is over in Revelations. Two ways. There's a way that is very different than the ways of the Lord. The ways of the Lord don't include the rebellion of carnality. The ways of the Lord includes life, an enhanced life, a clearness of the soul, protection, walls of salvation He is to us. The ability to discern, God brings His, by His grace, He brings to us some understanding where we recognize that's not a good path. That's not the way I want to go. That is not the way of life. It doesn't bring peace and happiness. And the Lord, by His grace, brings a quickening of our understanding that we might perceive. And thank God for that. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Over in John, the 14th chapter. This chapter starts out with, let not your heart be troubled. We've used those verses many times, have we not? It's good when we think of that. These are words of Jesus looking at people, saying, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. But we want to step down to the 5th and 6th chapter, 6th verse. Thomas was hearing, maybe last of the 4th verse says, and whether I go, you know, this is Jesus saying this now, whether I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said, we don't know your way. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest. How can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, a strong declaration, I am the way. I am the way. And today, dear ones, He is still that way. He is still the way. sometimes as humans, it's easier for us to come to somebody else and say, tell me which way to go. And I suppose there's places for us to give counsel to one another. I'm not discounting that. But folks, we really need to know Jesus because He is the way. It's easier sometimes for us to have other people tell us, but God would like for us to mature enough in Him that we can go directly to Him and say, what is the way? How would you want me to live today? Because Jesus presents to us as a personal Savior. He's not so far away that we can't reach Him, or He's not out of reach. He's our Savior, and He wants to communicate to every one of us individually and answer some moral questions in our life and put up boundaries. Help us to have the walls, the fences of salvation that protect us from things that would destroy us in life. So that's what Jesus says, I am the way. He said, I'm the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He is the way. His influence, personal influence in every one of our lives. And this is what we've got to have. Seek His face. Seek His indwelling. Seek the Word of God indwelling in your heart. This is the Word made carnate. Jesus was so. That was who He was. He was the Word of God brought down to man. And God would have us embrace all of His character. It lived and walked before our eyes here on this earth. That Word of God was dressed in flesh, and we called Him our Lord and Savior, and we called Him Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. That's who He was here on this earth. And He acted like God would have Him to act. And He portrayed the holiness of God. That's the reason why when He was smitten, He didn't smite back. When He was falsely accused, He didn't, though He could have. He could have caused the Roman soldier, He could have caused all that to go away, but He didn't. As a sheep, He was led before His shears. He was dumb. He didn't defend Himself. It doesn't mean that there's a balance to everything. But I want to tell you, God help us to follow the way. He is the way. Follow His character and His teachings. Over in Proverbs, we want to go over there for a little bit. Proverbs, the 14th chapter. Again, we're talking this morning about a way. A way is a path. A way is a place that you don't always stand still on, though there may be times that you stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. But a path is like a road that you travel on. We're moving, we're progressing, we're going down this path that the Lord has prescribed for us. And God and Jesus said, I am that way. So we're walking down this road of God's truth, of His law, of His order, of His grace that He's shed in our hearts. We're walking down that path in obedience to Him, to the Lord. And in that way, Proverbs 14 is where we want to be. In this path, God wants us to set one foot in front of another. Move forward. And we're not we don't always have to, there's a scripture that says, comparing themselves among themselves. You know, sometimes if some of us feel like, well, I've traveled down this road for quite a while and I've got some things figured out, and maybe I've got light in this area, and somebody over there, they don't have light and they should. Don't compare yourselves among yourselves. Encourage one another. Perhaps they're farther down the road in another area that you're not. But God wants us all to walk, continue walking, one step after another, and allowing God to fashion Himself in our hearts. He is the way. Proverbs 14. I want to get the 8th verse and the 12th verse. Proverbs 14 and 8 says, "The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way." The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. But the folly of fools is deceit. So the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. That says to my mind, the prudent man is thoughtful. The prudent man searches out a matter. The prudent man notices the path that he's taking and asks himself the question, is it right? Is this the path that takes me to the place I'm wanting to go? And sometimes we have to acknowledge, and prudence says, no, I need to change. One time I was going over to, there was a meeting over in Cape Girardeau area, Gale, Illinois. And I was traveling over there and going what I thought was on the road, and my mind was somewhere else. I was just had it on autopilot, and we were driving. And all of a sudden, I found myself, I think, in Poplar Bluff. And I thought, I didn't think this road was supposed to be there. I hadn't paid attention. And so the prudence began to say in my head, you've missed it somewhere. You know what I had to do? I had to make amends in my path. I still made it to where I was going, but I had to change, because if I wouldn't have changed, I'd have never made it to Cape Girardeau or Gale, Illinois. I wouldn't have made it. So the prudent man, it's prudent for us as we're passing through life to assess, is it working? Is this pointing the direction heavenward, or is it pointing? Folks, I want to tell you, there's two ways and they're very different. One way gratifies the flesh. The other way points toward heaven. The other way points away from the flesh and toward godliness. It's a narrow way, that's true. It is one that God calls us away from all this easy, this broad way that everybody is easily taking, gratifying their carnal desires. But God calls us away from that. There's a narrow path. There's a narrow way. I'm not here to try to make it stringent upon us, but I want us to be awake. As we're traveling, perhaps we're on autopilot today, we're just traveling along, and then along that path, if we're not careful, our oil can begin to slip out. We're not vibrant or intentional. That's what happened to me when I got off in the wrong area. I wasn't intentional. I wasn't watching the signs. Somewhere, it was easy to slip off. There's a bypass that I didn't even notice that when I got off on it. And the devil has many of those for us in our life. So the prudent man assesses where he's going and how he's getting there, and he's willing to make amends, to change, to turn around if he needs to turn around. So that is the eighth verse. And we want to go now, I think, what did I say, the 12th, yes, talks about a way. There is a way which seemeth, we've heard this one, haven't we? There's a way which seemeth right unto a man. Isn't that so? How many times has our perception, our ability to perceive or discern well, been clouded by my desires? There's a way that seems right. Why does it seem right? Because it appeals to everything I want. One time, I had some things that I was wanting to invest in somewhere, and there was a information came to my mind, to my understanding, that there was a place out in California that was, if you gave them money, they were doubling it nearly every 3 months. Well, I called out there, talked to the man, and he was a slick talker. And I was thinking, you know what? If I could just get this money out there within a short amount of time, I can be giving money to all these traveling ministers, and we're going to be spreading the gospel. You see what That's not wrong to think that now. But looking back, it was appealing to my carnal desires. And the caution lights were there. Sometimes the red lights were there. In fact, there was a minister that said he was holding us a revival meeting, and he, in just as a side part of what he was preaching about, he said, "Please let the Lord change your mind." And I didn't. And I paid. I'm saying that to tell you there are so many things that can be so attractive. There's a seem right way. There's a way that seems very attractive. And if you're not careful, it'll seem so right that that fruit is indeed to make one wise, you see. Who doesn't want to be wise? But it was a seem right way. It wasn't the right way. And by that one decision that Eve did, by taking and taking that fruit, it has plunged the rest of humanity into what we have to deal with today. You never know the power of a small decision until you've made it. But in the same right way, there are, if we are willing to stop as a prudent man, if we're willing to stop and look and say, this path, even though it seems good when I'm thinking of it and pondering, I realize what it's really appealing to is my old carnal self. Folks, I want to tell you the way of the Lord always points away from carnality. It always does. If we are confused in the path we must take, stop for a little while in your prudence and ask the Lord, "Lord, give me clear eyesight. Eyesight that's unmarred by my carnal desires. Help me, Lord, to make proper understanding. Give me proper understanding in this situation that I might avoid the pitfalls of tomorrow." And I believe when we understand and recognize that there are things that we can get involved with that maybe won't necessarily cause spiritual death at that moment, but it starts down a detour road. And it's not the path of righteousness. Because, you see, it appeals to me. It's what I wanted. I look back and still don't think it was wrong for me to think if we can get enough money, we're going to spread the gospel. It's good. It's not necessarily bad, but be careful that it's not got a little twinge of carnality in there. Carnality is never good. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Pretty stark difference, isn't it? One is a way of life. This other one, the seem right way, is a way of death. Proverbs 4, while we're here. If I can get to Proverbs 4 and 14. "Enter not into the path of the wicked." The path that they're on wouldn't be the one they'd be wanting to travel if they're wicked hearted. So don't follow their path. "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the ways of evil men." Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away. Go the other direction. You remember, talks about wolves and sheep's clothing. We all know those. We've heard that, haven't we? That has become a vernacular, a term that is in the general vernacular of society. Everybody, they think about wolves and sheep. That's at least in the past generations it has. I don't know about the new generation. But it's come down throughout the annals of time that wolves in sheep's clothing, that's a scripture. That comes from the Bible. And it's describing somebody who portrayed themselves as something that they're not. In fact, they came in and looked like they were so gentle and so easy and easily being treated. But underneath that outward skin was teeth ravenous. There's wolves, a wolfish nature. And the Lord asks us to pass away from something that is thinly veiled. There's a path that can maybe well, that can seem desirous, can seem innocent, but it's a path of the evil. It's path, the path of wickedness. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. And pass away. Take another direction again. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. Isn't that what the devil is trying to do to all of us? He wants to try to cause us to fall. He's not for our spiritual victory. He's not here for our furtherance in the walk with the Lord. He'll do everything he can to lay stumbling stones before us. For they eat not the bread of, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just, again, a very different path. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. This is in Proverbs. This is before Jesus Christ. But every soul who wanted to follow, Enoch found something, did he not? He followed the Lord. I believe the path he chose was not the one of the wicked. I think he passed away from that. He left wickedness to the wicked. But he wanted to follow the Lord. And Lord, help us to do the same. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Again, this was in Proverbs. There is something that they got a hold of back there that surely you and I can, in this grace dispensation, surely you and I have access to a greater understanding through grace in Jesus Christ. We can recognize the wicked path and turn away from it. 2 Chronicles, 7th chapter. 2 Chronicles 7, start with the 13th verse. This was a situation where Solomon had built the temple, and it was pleasing, it was right, and he dedicated it to the Lord. He consecrated it. He even used the term sanctified. It was sanctified to the Lord. Vessels were sanctified, were set apart and intentionally made for the use in the temple. That was its exclusive use. And so later on, when we find after Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed this temple that Solomon built, we find that Nebuchadnezzar had taken and stolen the golden vessels that was intended for the use for God, and he defiled it by his own, or his son or son-in-law or grandson, whichever one that was, took, and it's debatable whether a son or a grandson. So anyway, that's why I said it that way. Anyway, you know, Belshazzar took in his drunken state. He wasn't prudent anymore. Folks, the broad way addles the mind. I'm just telling you. And he lost his prudence, and he went in his arrogance. He took the vessels that was intended, were sanctified for the use of God. And he drank unto his gods out of those. And there was a hand wrote over on the wall. And his knees knocked. God help us to be set apart and sanctified for the use of our Lord. 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter and the 13th verse says, I meant to lead up here a little bit farther. After Solomon had dedicated this temple, sanctified it to the Lord himself, accepted it. You know how, remember how he did that? He came down with the cloud of some places. It's called his Shekinah glory. His light, his cloud came down and pervaded the whole thing. And the people saw that. And they humbled their heart because they saw a real God. There's more than Baal, more than gods of stone and wood. This was a God who came down and accepted this. And Solomon prayed and offered all this to the Lord. And then God, as he accepted that, now in the 13th verse, he said, God said, if I shut up heaven, Folks, there are things that we can do that incur God's wrath. There are things that we can do that include, maybe I should say it differently, His wrath, that can incur His displeasure. And sometimes in His mercy, it was His mercy that God let Nebuchadnezzar overcome the children of Israel. It was His mercy. Because the children of Israel, they felt so invincible, they were just going on and overriding in rebellion against God. And the Lord brought them to a place of confrontation. Remember, Jeremiah told them, you're going to be there 70 years. You submit to this because this is the will of God. So the Lord in His mercy awakened again the people of Israel. But so this is saying, God is saying to the children of Israel here at this time of dedication of the temple, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if these conditions happen, if the Lord is trying to awaken us, allowing us to have hard places, that we begin to seek His face, that's His purpose, that we might seek His face in honesty and hunger. Teach me Thy ways, O Lord. Help me to walk in Thy statutes. That's what God intends. That's my response should be to Him. He says, if I shut up heaven, if these things happen, I send pestilence among the people. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from what way? The wicked way. There's two ways. One's right. The other one is indeed wrong. One is evil. And one is good. One is a way of righteousness. The other is a way of wickedness. One brings hope. One brings eternal life. The other brings despair and death. And so the Lord says, I set before you this day both a blessing and a curse. Choose you this day whom you will serve. The ways are before us. The way. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That brings me some hope. That brings me some hope for the world I live in today. Because folks, this world and this nation, let me bring it a little, perhaps this county, this area we live in, has turned away from God. We may say, well, we live in a more conservative state and there's a lot of good, and amen, I'm glad for all that, but folks, in large part, this state, this area has turned away from God. But if there will be a turning, will be a recognizing their prudence is applied and recognize this is not bringing what we want. This is not the path that brings peace in my soul. If prudence will stand up and we listen to her voice and we amen what she says and say, Lord, I want your way. And we humble our heart and pray. There is a forgiveness. There is a healing. There is a making right that God will do for this nation. And I want to tell you, I'm not going to ever tell you not to vote, but I want to tell you the biggest vote I think God would have us to make is one of humbling our heart before the mighty hand of God and allowing Him to have full reign in my life. Because God wants you and I to be an influence on everybody around us, a godly influence. We will be an influence, but God wants you and I to be a godly influence on all around us, that they may see hope also. There may be a reason for them to say, I understand now, I'm looking, and I realize that the path you're taking, there's fruit, a good fruit coming from that. That it be more than just theory, but reality lived out in shoe leather before them. God help us. There is two ways. One is the way of life. The other one is very broad, and anybody can find it. Anybody can find it. And about everybody's taken it. But that other way is narrow. And don't look at it as being unpleasurable. It's just a description that it is a narrow way. It is one that is findable. Few there be that find it, but it is findable. Through Jesus Christ, it is findable, and this way is the way of life. It's the way of that our joy might be full. It is a way that it's not a drudgery. It is a good way. It's the way that God has designed our souls to live. This other way is a way of destruction that causes oppression of sin and evil. But the Lord calls us away from that unto the way of life through His Son, Jesus Christ. And today, that hope is still ours. That hope is for whosoever will, let him come. Let him come. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. May the Lord help us each one day as we negotiate life, as we go down the path of life, as you make the decisions in your future, measure them by the way of life. If it tends to the flesh, let the caution lights flash. Let the red lights come on and stop and stand still for a little bit and say, Lord, I don't think this is the way. And you'll hear a voice behind thee saying and pointing the direction you should go, and it'll be saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. Pray for me. I want to serve the Lord.